chapter 13. Go ahead. Is it running? Okay. Matthew chapter 13. And to me, this is a very scary piece of scripture. Because these are the words of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. That's right. Let me get to the right chapter myself. This is just after he had told the parable of the sower and the seeds. Verse 10, he says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Christ told them why. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." That's the scary part. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Like I said, to me this is a scary piece of scripture. These words and this explanation are showing the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah. And this manifests clearly, showing through the words of Christ that some people will understand and believe the gospel, and some people will not. Period. Right there, you can stop. So anytime you see a billboard where it says, God loves everyone, God wants everyone to come to him, it's not exactly what Christ said here. Because if God really wants you to come, you will come. We're going to see that too. Why did Christ speak in parables? The scriptures here, the words of Christ here, speak exactly the opposite of what you will hear in modern religion. I know, because I've heard it. Even on a tape from a fella who's actually a singer. Most of you probably heard of Squire Parsons. There was one of his tapes, and he was coming around in this area at, you know, I guess 25, 30 years ago, whenever it was. It was a while back. Somebody had one, and I listened to it. And some of the songs were okay. At that time, I didn't know any better, a lot of things. But there was this little interlude in between in the middle of a song where he just kind of spoke for a moment. And one of the things he said, it's the only thing I actually remember from that tape. He said, And Jesus even spoke to him in parables so that all might understand. That's exactly right. It was a lie. And that's why it stuck with me. Because this fella singing these songs, supposedly praising God, supposedly praising Christ and his work, didn't know what Christ said. And they're in pulpits everywhere today saying the exact same thing. He spoke to them, you know, in these stories because, see, these people weren't educated and they were ignorant, and this way they could relate to what it was about. He talked about farming because people farmed and they sowed seed, and sometimes seed didn't work. Well, farmers know not to sow seed on rocks if they're any good at farming. But the disciples came to him and said, "Why are you speaking in parables?" Then he explained it to his disciples, what he was talking about. He didn't give the explanation to everybody else. And he told them, he says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And that's hard. That's hard language. Now, if you want to, I know Matthew speaks a lot of the kingdom, but Christ doesn't do anything any different in the kingdom than he does here, and that he does now, and that he did then. If you know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, it's because it's been given to you. If you don't know, it's because it's not been given to you. And that's going to be true in the kingdom too. Because Walter's getting into it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But at the end of the kingdom, what happens? The devil comes back and immediately leads people astray. After 1,000 years of Christ's rule, in person, on this earth, man will still rebel. Because the sum, it is not given. Anyhow, now it's no great marvel that modern religion speaks exactly the opposite of Christ, because Satan has ministers too. For such are false apostles, can't talk today, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They use his name. They use the words of the Bible. They'll say grace. They'll say salvation. But they don't mean the same things as the words of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. And I like what Henry Mahan said. Not God's righteousness, your righteousness. Yeah. Your works. Whose end shall be according to their works. That's never a good statement. You never want your end to be according to your works, no matter who you are. Right. I don't want my end to be according to my works. Right. And these folks don't want their end to be according to their works, but it will be. Because unto them it is not given. Modern religion states that Christ spoke in parables and simple stories so that everyone could understand. And that's not even close to the truth. We know, because we've heard, and you've been warned from here, from Earl, from me, from Walter, about what other people say in pulpits. But this is the word of Christ as pertaining to speaking in parables. Christ spoke in parables so that some would not understand. And I don't know how to state that any clearer. Christ spoke in parables so that some people would not know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ explained these parables exactly to the right people that he chose to explain them to. Here's another thing you want to think about. If Judas was there, he explained it to him, but it didn't do any good either. Those that God chooses as his people will be given to understand, and no one else. Then it makes this statement, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Walter, I got thinking about this after we talked a little bit about that statement in Deuteronomy with Jacob. When God was, or Moses was telling the things that God had done for Jacob, he said, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, and in this statement, he instructed him. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. Because one of the things that Jacob received from the Lord was instruction. The Lord instructed Jacob after the Lord found Jacob, and while the Lord led Jacob and kept Jacob. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. That statement comes right after this statement, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. Whosoever hath shall be given more. God has promised to teach his people, right? And no one else. But God has promised to teach his people. It is his gift to us who believe him. It is his blessing to us. Blessed are your ears, they hear. Blessed are your eyes, they see. Blessed is the heart that understands. It's his gift to us. And it is his will for his people to learn of him. Knowledge is a gift. True knowledge is the gift of God. Knowledge of Christ is the gift of God to his people, and he's promised it to us. John relates this. I've got four verses, actually five written here. 14:16, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Then he explains it a little bit later on, the next verse, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, because their eyes don't see, and their ears don't hear, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. God has promised to his people his Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. He gives that to every one of his people that he gives life to. And then he says in chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, of Christ, Whosoever hath, to him more shall be given. And he's going to have an abundance.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how to put this, but there are sometimes I feel I have an abundance of knowledge. And there's sometimes I don't. And there's sometimes I feel I have an abundance that I can't relate to someone else who doesn't know what I'm talking about. It's hard enough sometimes to stand up here and to talk to you people and you understand this. This has happened to you. It's happened and it's in you now. And it's hard enough sometimes to word it correctly to get your point across. And I've tried to talk to people who don't know anything about God, Walter, and someday you have to just let it go.
Yeah.
And you just say something, actually, I try to say something very simply and let it go. And if there's an interest, they may ask a question. Because there's no way that I can relate to them what God has done for me in an actual meaningful way. Because there are really no good words some days. I don't know when God gave me life. I do know a couple of occasions, I believe, that after God had given me life, where that law work comes in and the condemnation comes down on your head, and I thought I was ready for hell. Literally, figuratively, I thought if I died right now, I'd go to hell. I was wrong. Because I believe God had given me life at that moment, before that even. Because I never had that knowledge before. And there is a spirit of fear. And that's what I had at that time. Now, it leads to the spirit of adoption, which is far, far better condition to be in. But the spirit of fear doesn't come to dead people. Life comes. And after that life comes, then the fear can set in. The law work begins. And the knowledge of Christ begins. Conversion begins. But it's hard to speak to people who don't have ears to hear and don't have eyes to see. And all you can do is trust in the Lord for that sort of thing. And some days some people respond, most days nobody responds. And it depresses you some days. But it happens. 1 John 4:6 wrote this: we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now the scary part: but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now man does not know the truth of God as it is in Jesus Christ, even now. With this book, in black and white, and sometimes if you like, the words of Christ in red, translated into God knows how many languages now. Right in front of them, with Christ's word saying why he spoke in parables, they'll put it out on an album of Christian music. He spoke in parables so that all would understand. That guy doesn't understand. He that hath not. from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Why don't they know this, even though it's written in black and white? To them it is not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Even what they do know will be taken from them. We were talking at the last dinner about a certain individual whose last Sunday with this assembly, when we were in another place, was my first Sunday with this assembly. And Walter's too. I'm going to blame him mostly. That was his last Sunday with this assembly. And he went from there, I know, to another place where another fellow preached basically the gospel. And then I come to find out he's helped start a church of his own doing all kind of weirdness. He that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. It's spooky. Walter, that place we left, we know what's happened to some places, some things down there, some people. And some people that have left this assembly, they have turned completely away from the gospel. And even if not into nonsense, they've turned from everything. They don't go anywhere. I don't want that to happen to me. He that hath not shall be taken away from him what he's got. That's scary. I'm going to cheer you up a little bit. Now, I'm not going to show them this one, Walter. No, I'm going to show this one. No, that won't cheer him up. A little bit of news off the internet. Peru. Lima, Peru. They have a bid for the world's tallest Christ. Well, you know they had that big statue down in, I think it's Buenos Aires, Argentina, right? It's 33 meters tall. Well, there's a bigger one. And believe it, it's in Poland, a little seaside town. It's 36 meters tall. This is Peru's going to build one that's 37 meters tall. Because they need a bigger Jesus than Poland. The one thing I did like about the one in Poland, he had a gold crown on his head. At least he wasn't still hanging from a tree and dead or something, you know, because he's not. But anyhow, the Peruvian president plans to build the world's tallest Christ statue. And it's angered some of the local residents because they think it's going to mess up the skyline of the hills around there, and he didn't clear it with the mayor of Lima. Now, here's the statement. Where is it? I gotta find it. Here it is. This is the president when he was asked about the project. This figure can bless Peru and protect Lima. That's the world.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. They don't know anything about Christ if that's what they think. Because Lord knows God can't protect Peru without a statue there. That's the thoughts of this modern religion. That's the thought of the world. And I'll throw it out. That's the thought of Catholicism. I was reading that thing about John Knox when he was put into slavery on that French galley, and they were having a service, and they were passing around this picture of the Blessed Virgin, and they gave it to him to kiss the feet of it, and he said no, and it went around and came back to him again, and supposedly, and actually knowing a little bit of the history of John Knox, I believe it, supposedly they gave it to him again, and he said he chucked it overboard. she's light enough, let her learn how to swim. You gotta like a man like that. This figure will protect Peru and Lima. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, who made that decision? Wasn't me, and it wasn't you, it was God. If you got a problem with what Christ said about why he teaches in parables, you can take it up with him. You can take it up with the Son of God himself. Somehow, I don't think he'll hear you, though. I read this. I believe this. That's it. It has been revealed to me, and I have seen it in this world now that I've been around a few years. That statement that Paul made about they went out from us, that it might be made manifest they were not of us. Going out from us doesn't make you not of us. It shows that you are not of us. Right. I read it just a minute ago. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the truth, spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When the Spirit teaches, the people of God are instructed. And they learn. Some learn more than others. Some don't. You know, it's not you have to know this, you have to know that, you have to know this. You have to know him. And what you're learning is about him. David wrote this in Psalms. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. This is Psalms 18, verse 44. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. Amen. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. Yes, they do. Now, they'll never hear without a hearing ear. They'll never see without a seeing eye. They'll never understand without a heart that understands. And all of that comes from God. And so does the instruction. Matthew said it here, wrote it here, Christ, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Jeremiah wrote, and I will give them and heart to know me. To know me. That I am the Lord. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Where do you get a whole heart from? Oh, that thing was desperately wicked. Who could know it? It was deceitful above all things. Who could know it? And I will give them a heart to know me. And if he doesn't give you a heart to know him, you're not going to know him. That's it. And when God gives something, you got it. I'm not going to get into it. Well, if you accept it, he gives you something, you'll accept it. I can pretty much guarantee you won't know what to do with it at first. Because you'll be too busy being scared. But he will teach you. And you will learn of him. From through the Spirit of truth, which he gives to you. And without it, without the Spirit of truth, what you got will be taken away. But with the Spirit of truth, he shall have more abundance. To him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And that's what I want. I'm greedy that way, I guess. I want more abundance. More knowledge. More knowing of Christ. And hopefully more obedience to Christ. That comes from him too. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time and this place. Most of all, thankful for our Lord, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and is our Lord, and who has given to us this abundance. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.